Thank you. Do be seated. I feel that might have been new for a lot of you. I was roaring and cheering on my own there. So there we go. So today is Mother's Day. And I wonder, pop your hand up if you've already got a little gift or a little present that you've given to your mums or your aunts or your whoever's around. Oh, lots of hands up. So let's see what kind of things we've given. What have you given today? A bug house and a bird feeder. That sounds awesome. Wow, that's amazing. What did you give, Evie? A house made out of sponge that you made in brownies. Brilliant. Well done. What else have we done? Yeah.
A sunflower.
A real sunflower. Or wow, that's amazing. So a real sunflower was given to your mum. Yep.
A card
that you made at Beavers. Fantastic. Anyone else got something for their mums? Yeah.
I got a chocolate cake and a teddy.
A chocolate cake and a teddy. Is that for you or is it for mum?
Mummy.
Mummy, oh, that's good. Lovely. So we got lots of lovely gifts, haven't we? Noah, what did you give mummy?
A notebook.
Oh, your mum would love that because she's always making lists in the office. Goodness me. So we have got some lovely gifts there. Now, the great things about gifts, if you're a little bit like me, is trying to guess what's inside the present before you open it. So I have some gifts just here. I'm going to be very careful. Let's see if I can do this. Oh, there we go. And I wonder, just by looking, if you can work out what's inside our gifts. So we have this one here. We have this one here. And we have this one here. So obviously, it's a call and response day today. Flowers, chocolate, wine. So are we agreed? Do you think we've got flowers, chocolates, and wine here? Is that what you think? Who says no? What do you think, Jay? You reckon it's an orange or an apple? You have weird presents in your house. An orange or an apple. So who's going to open this one for me and see what it is? So, ooh, let's have right in the middle. Yeah, do you want to come up? Yeah, come up. Yeah. Go together. That would be good. It's really hard when someone points and doesn't use your name, isn't it? That's what it is. So sorry. So, can you? You think it's a bunch of flowers, don't you? Shall we open it? Shall we open it, both of you? Look it, yeah. Is it a bunch of flowers? No. Shall we take off this ribbon?
Perfume.
Would you reckon it? Perfume, maybe. Shall we get out? Oh. So what's that then? It's a sand timer. Well done, so we had a sand timer in there. Lovely, can you go and sit down for me, please? Thank you. I'll take your bit of rubbish, thank you. Lovely, so who's going to open this one for me? Which we know are chocolates, so are you starting to think what's Jude up to? Is that we're on? Young man, you come and help me. So you might be really good at your chocolates, you might recognise the box shape. That's what it is. Do you want to come up here? Okay, you're going to open it for us. Turn around so everyone can see. What is it?
Chocolate.
It looks like chocolates. Okay, let's open it.
Ketchup.
Wait a minute, it's what?
Ketchup.
Ketchup? Do you want to take it out for us? There we go. So we've got some ketchup. Thank you very much. We're going to go and sit down. Thank you. Now we have one last one. Come on then, Ruby. Do you think it's a bottle of wine? Maybe. Let's have a little look. Oh. What is it?
It's like an instrument.
It's like an instrument. Well done. Thank you, Ruby. Does anyone know what instrument this is?
A shaker.
Might be a bit of a shaker. Yeah?
A rain stick.
Right. Well, you're absolutely right. Who knew that inside of our presents we had a sand timer, some ketchup, and a rain stick? Happy Mother's Day, Mum. So, my mum's just sitting there. You have got a different present later. So, anyway, We are going to be thinking about our sand timer, our ketchup, and our range stick. But I wonder, first of all, if anyone could tell me what word or what thing links our three items. So have a little think, and if you think you've got an answer, you can chat to the person next to you and pop your hand up. But what links our sand timer, our ketchup, and our rain stick? Have I bamboozled you? I've got one hand up. One person thinks they got a link. Two people, three people think they got a link. Four, five, six. Any ideas what links our presents together? So, Lexi, I saw your hand up. Do you want to tell me what you think links it together? What do you think? They've all got something inside them. They absolutely have. We've got our sand timer, we have our ketchup, and we have our rain stick. That's a brilliant link, Lexi, but it's not the way my brain was working. There's a different link. Yes. Oh, yeah. Mary, what do you think? What do you think, Evie? So Mary and Evie think you have to turn it upside down to make the contents work. That is exactly what I was thinking, Mary and Evie. Well done. We have, should we give them a round of applause? Because that was a hard link. So we have got to turn it on its head for things to happen. So we have got here our sand timer. Now we start off by thinking about three mums in the Bible. Thought about Hannah and Naomi and Mary. And I want us, first of all, with our sand timer, to think about Hannah. Now, Hannah was someone who desperately wanted a baby. And she went time and again to the temple and prayed to God for a baby. Now, you may know something about sand timers. We turn it upside down and we wait for each of the grains of sand to come through to the other side. But as soon as it's come through, to make it work again, we have to reverse it. We have to wait again. And with Hannah, she went to the temple time and time again. And each time she prayed to God about the desire to have a child. Now, there's something amazing about Hannah's story. Now, I don't know about you, but I think that after the first, second, third, and fourth time of praying, I think I might have given up. I think I might have gone, well, that's it. It's not going to happen. I'm just going to give up on that. But she did not. She kept going back. And the thing is with Hannah is that she kept placing her problem, her desire, her deepest wish of her heart back to God. And she kept speaking to him. Now, she didn't know how God was going to answer that prayer. She didn't know whether or not she would have a child. She didn't know that. But she knew to keep going to God and to keep asking him and to keep placing herself in front of God. Now, she was there because she trusted that God would listen. And we need to turn this story on its head, just like we're thinking about our sand timers. We can think it's a very sad story of Hannah's. But Hannah's story is actually full of joy and full of hope and full of God's faithfulness. Because she kept going to God, and God continuously listened to her. And he heard her prayer. And a little bit later in the story, if you want to read about it, you can in 1 Samuel. You'll find out how Eli, a priest, saw her praying. And at first, she was praying so much in her heart that her lips were moving. But she was praying in her heart because she knew God could hear her. She knew she only had to say it in her heart and it would be heard. But Eli actually thought she was drunk. And at first, he was kind of condemn her and say, you're doing the wrong thing. And when she said, no, you mistake me. I'm pouring my heart to God. Eli said, may you be blessed and may what you've asked for be heard by God. And she was blessed to have a son. And she had Samuel. And you might know something about names of children, but Samuel actually means God has heard. So that was why the name Samuel was given. It was very unusual for a woman to name the child as well, but her husband agreed to that happening. And so we have Samuel being born. But part of it, part of her prayer to God, was a plea, Lord, if you would bless me in this way, then I will return the blessing to you. If you would grant me a son, then this child I will send back to you. And she kept her vow. When Samuel's a little bit older, says he's weaned, and that means away from the mother. It doesn't actually mean it's about milk, that expression. It's talking about when old enough to cope without a mother. When he was weaned, he was taken to the temple. And Hannah gave Samuel, and that's what this picture is, Hannah giving Samuel to the priest and saying, this was what God blessed me with. This was what I've poured out my heart for. God has blessed me. And in my thankfulness, I'm giving him back. I'm giving back to your service to work for God. And so Samuel went to be in the temple and to work alongside Eli. And the amazing thing is that in the laws of the time, if you'd made a vow to God, if you then felt that you couldn't uphold that vow, so if she made a vow to God saying, God, if you give me a baby, I'll give the baby back to you. And when the baby was born, think, no, I can't do it. Then in the law, you could pay instead and you give money instead of that. So you could repay your vow by giving money instead of the vow that you'd given. But not for Hannah. She was not going to go back on the word that she had given to God. She had promised it to him, and so she gave her promise back. And the last thing about Hannah is, you might know something about the story of Samuel. You might know when he was a little boy, he was in the temple. And when he was in the temple, he was sleeping. And as he was sleeping, he heard someone say, Samuel! Samuel! And he got up and ran to Eli, and he said, I'm here, what is it? And Eli said, I'm not talking, I'm not calling you, go back to bed. And so he does, and he hears again, Samuel, Samuel! He jumps up and he runs to Eli, I'm here, you called me. I didn't call you, said Eli, go back. And then Eli, the priest, realizes, it's not me calling you, Samuel. You are hearing the voice of God. And Samuel heard God's voice. So this woman who prayed knowing that God heard her, named her child the one who has been heard by God. And it was Samuel, her child, who was one of the ones to hear God's voice in a time when it was rare to hear that. Now we also have ketchup. Now we're going to think about Naomi and a bit of ketchup now. Who can tell me what you add ketchup to? Who likes ketchup, first of all? Okay, that was less than I thought. Okay, so who can tell me what they like to add their ketchup to? Of those who like ketchup, would you like to add it to? Alison? Alison, would you like to add ketchup to? Would you like to add ketchup to? Hot dogs, yes, I like to add ketchup to hot dogs. What do you think, Lily? Oh, sorry. Chips. Both of you said chips at the same time. Absolutely. What do you like to add ketchup to? Burgers. Absolutely. Right at the back. Noah. Say again. Chicken nuggets. Absolutely. If you're my cousin a very long time ago, when he was little, this was what you added ketchup to. Garden peas. Now, it's not so much that he loved ketchup, although he did like it. It was that he absolutely hated garden peas. And whenever it was given to him, he would make the biggest fuss going that he was not going to eat the garden peas. So my aunt struck a deal. The deal was, you're eating the peas, but I will add tomato ketchup. And so he would always put a load of tomato ketchup over the top of garden peas. And then that made it okay for him to eat. Because the truth is, the garden peas were in there, but the tomato ketchup, the sweetness of the ketchup was there as well, and that's what he liked alongside. Now, we know of Naomi's story that she felt that her life was bitter. She even wanted to change her name from Naomi, that means pleasant, to Mara, that means bitter, because she felt that she'd been given a bitter blow. First of all, there was a famine in the land she was in, so her whole family left and went to another place. The place they went to was a place with foreign gods and foreign people, and it wasn't seen as the right thing for a good Jewish family to do. When she got there, her husband sadly died. Not only that, when her two sons were old enough to marry, they married women from the area, again, something that was not seen in the Jewish law as being good. And then they, the two sons, died too. So she'd left her home, she'd lost her husband, she'd lost her two sons, and she felt such bitterness. But the rest of the story continues that back in her hometown, food was now in plenty. So she decided to go back to the hometown because now that place had food. She took with her her two daughters-in-law. And as they went, she felt, why are you coming with me? Why are you even staying with me? My life's turned bitter. Don't come and follow. And so one daughter-in-law returned back to her family home. But Ruth stayed with Naomi. And in that time, Ruth turned out to be one of the most faithful and loyal daughters that she could ever wish for. And during their time back in their land that they returned to, Ruth, amazingly, by God's providence, ended up working in the field that was owned by one of Naomi's husband's family. And that meant that the family were now going to be looked after. And the story of Ruth is amazing, so do read it in the Bible. But in that story, we see the bitterness. It's like the garden peas. The bitterness of what took place, and no one doubts that that was a bitter time. But alongside it, God was with Naomi. God was there all along. But because of Naomi's business, she couldn't see it. And isn't it interesting that when things go bitter, when things get hard, we tend to exaggerate our hopelessness. She tells of how she's got no one to look after her. She's better off changing her name and don't even call me Naomi. I'm not even part of that anymore. I've turned so much. Call me Mara instead. But the truth is that God was providing a place that still gave her food. The truth is God provided her a loyal and faithful daughter-in-law. The truth is that there were two Redeemer kinsmen. There were two people, a part of her family, that could have saved the day for her. And Ruth, her daughter-in-law, married one. And so we have this incredible story of how God was there beside Naomi in amongst the bitterness. And lastly, we have our rain stick. Now, our rain stick, as we know, only works when you turn it upside down. That's our link. We've got to look at it a different way around. So when we turn it upside down, we can hear what sounds like rain. Question is, and don't give away the answer just yet, Andrew, please. What's inside it to make it make the sound? Who can tell me, if I were to cut this open, what I'd see if I looked inside? Yes, what do you think? Maybe small wooden balls or something. Good thinking. Something small and wooden. Maybe. Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, peas with ketchup. Yeah. Beads. I have beads in there. There might be beads in there. Yes. Hang on. Rice. There might be rice in there. Now, all of those suggestions are really... Oh, should I come to Lynn, the music teacher? What's inside it, Lynn? Well done. So if we show the picture now, not only have we got beads or rice or wooden balls in there, we have these sticks. So if you were to look at my rain stick, you can have a look at it later, but you can actually see the pegs on the outside. And what's happening is inside these sticks are going all the way through. So that when I turn it over, the beads are rolling through all of the sticks. So it's a mixture of the two. And so inside our rain stick, we've got something incredible that happens. And this sound comes out of it, but everything that's making the sound is still inside. And we were thinking about Mary, about inside her, she carried Jesus. She was the mother of God. She was the one that bore him. And inside was something way more incredible than we might think of. We might think of just beads inside, but there's something more inside. And this baby was something more than just a baby, or only a baby, solely a baby, which is a miracle in itself. This was God's son. Now, also, as you notice, the sound is the thing that we hear. That's what comes out. But what's still left inside still makes the sound. Now, we're thinking today about how God was inside Mary, but how God can also be inside us. Not in the way, obviously, it was with Mary, but his presence can be with us, and it can indwell in us. That means live within us. So we have God, this sound we can hear coming out, we can have God being represented. We can show God to so many others. But also we have God with us at the same time. So we need to think about Hannah, Naomi, and Mary with a different set of eyes. We need to look at it not as someone who was sad, maybe, someone who was bitter situation, or someone who bore Jesus, who carried Jesus, but as someone who in amongst that sadness spoke to God and kept praying and kept going and kept going and kept going and kept pleading with God, trusting he would answer her prayer but not knowing how that answer would be. We need to be a bit like Naomi in amongst the bitterness, in amongst sad times and things that happen to us, remembering that God is with us in it. That it may be tough times. God doesn't promise us not to have those, but he promises to be with us in it. And finally, how Mary bore Jesus and gave birth to him, but we can still have Jesus inside us, or God inside us. So we've got these opposites that happen all the time. So my challenge for you today is whichever of these amazing women of the Bible you think about today, if any resonate closely with what you're going through, remember that he is faithful. And we can expect that God will hear us, just like Hannah expected God to hear. We can also expect God to answer our prayers in an unexpected way, like Naomi. So she lost her sons, but she gained her daughter-in-law. An unexpected answer to her bitterness. So we can expect God to hear, we can expect him to answer in an unexpected way, and we can be expecting, like Mary was expecting God, we could be expecting knowing that he is with us. Just like a lady may be expecting a baby, we can expect, know that he is deep inside. So I'm just going to finish now with a quick prayer, and I just want to ask you just to think about one of those women as we pray. Heavenly Lord, we thank you for these incredible mothers in the Bible. We thank you that they show us what it is to have a true faith in you, to stick with you through tough times, but knowing that there's joy and there's hope and there's happiness in there. And Lord, as we continue today and into this week, let us be expecting you. Let us know that you are deeply within us, and help us to shine you to each and every person. In Jesus' name. Now, not only have we thought about amazing mothers in the Bible, we've also got some people here who are maybe mums or grandmas or aunts or friends or linked to a child in some way. And what we'd like to do is the wonderful Mothers Union has been making these bunches of flowers. And there's a little tag that goes with it. And it has on there a Bible verse from Philippians 1:3, which says, "I thank my God every time I remember you." I thank my God every time I remember you. So in a moment, we're going to continue in worship. And during that time, we'd love for people to come up and to take one of these bunches and to give it to your mum or your grandma or an auntie or a friend. And it could be anyone who you thank God for every time you remember them. And so we're going to have that now. So can I please ask the members of the Mothers Union to come out and help? That would be wonderful. And ask for the worship band to come up. And can we all stand, please, as we worship?